I'm Cody from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call ourselves the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, Stargate Pioneer, and everybody calls me SP, so please call me SP. But your reporters for this episode 17 of season 5 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
But even better, bribe for Satan.
You're now demoted to intern. And Michelle.
See how easy it is to think first and kill people later?
Yes, until you need to kill the people later. Yep. And that was a very bad Anatoly Russian accent imitation right there. I'm sorry to everybody that's Russian and Anatoly. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, March 23rd, 2017, live on Geeks.live. Hey, one of the great things about us here on the Starling Tribune on Earth 2 is that in addition to being famous newspaper reporters and our intern, we all claim to be great Earth One comic book enthusiasts. Isn't that right, Chris?
Well, normally that would be the case, but Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild just came out, and then Mass Effect Andromeda dropped on Tuesday, both of which are going to take about 60 plus hours to beat, so I haven't been reading much.
I feel for you. I did get my Mass Effect Andromeda in the mail. I haven't had a chance to open it and install it. Besides, I still got to get through Mass Effect 1, which I will continue to do tomorrow night. Michelle, you are also a comic book enthusiast, though, right?
Yes, and I'm in the process of moving, and my local shop, they just called to check in, and they were like, yeah, by the way, your box is getting full. And it's like, oh, God, it's going to take me a month to catch up. I just know it.
It is, because just this week, this are the issues that I just picked up this week, some of which are not in my pull list. So I got issues like the Blue Beetle, the Detective Comics number 953. I got Flash number 19. Michelle, I know this is in your pull list. Wonder Woman number 19, right?
Yes.
Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. I know this is in your pull box as well, number 17. I know this might not be in your pull box, Batgirl number 9, and that is not in mine either. I just picked it up just to check in on it. And then Teen Titans number 6, which is also not in my pull list, but I picked it up anyway. So that is my claim to be a comic book enthusiast here on the Starling Tribune dealing with DC Comics. But tonight, we're not going to be discussing comics so much as this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and over on CW Seed, we also count Vixen and Constantine.
So here's a friendly reminder for you, listener, that we throw a lot of speculation, some of that based off of information coming from the showrunners or that the actors have shared in different interviews and articles we read online. So while we might be throwing out wild speculation, sometimes we're actually right every once in a while. So consider yourselves warned. We might accidentally spoil something coming in the future because we're that lucky.
And luck is what it would be, especially with me. But speaking of spoilers, sometimes we geek out. We talk about this week's DC Comics. And yeah, that could be included as well.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
And that is it for the preliminaries. It's time to get into the episode. Michelle, go ahead and break it down for us.
Sure. This week's episode is Capuchin. Season 5, Episode 17. It originally aired Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. Director Kevin Tankeron. This is his second episode of Arrow. Also did an episode of Iron Fist. Has done 8 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Legends, 2 Flash, and 1 Supergirl. Writers, Brian Ford Sullivan. Has done 11 Arrow and 7 Vixen. And Emilio Ortega Aldrich, who has written 8 episodes of Arrow.
That's right. And just a little reminder, Kevin Tankeron, the name, the last name might be familiar to you, not just because of his amazing work, but because of his sister over on one of the executive producers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. So the Tankerons have a little bit of experience in the... Wouldn't you like to have grown up in their household knowing decades later that they would be some of the key players in some of the amazing comic book TV shows that would take place in the mid-2010s?
Either that or the Whedon household.
That would have been cool, too.
Yeah, that would have been pretty sweet.
Exactly. And one of the reasons for that is, well, one of the other executive producers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the other Whedon.
So what we like to try and do each week is kind of highlight the ratings for everything that's taking place in the Flarrow universe over the past week. So let's take a look back. We'll start on Monday. We had Season 2, Episode 16 of Supergirl Era. That was entitled Star-Crossed. Pulled in a 2.07 rating. That's pretty solid. Moving on to Tuesday, this is the big one. Season 3, Episode 17, Duet. This is the fabled musical crossover episode with Supergirl. Pulled in a 2.71 this week.
Ouch.
They were probably hoping for higher, but it is the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to our Flarrowverse TV shows. Also on Tuesday night, airing right after The Flash, we had Legends Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 15, Fellowship of the Spear, pulling in a 1.72, which, not bad for what Legends has been doing lately. That's pretty solid. And then, of course, last night, Arrow aired, Season 5, Episode 17, and guys, it's not looking good right now, pulling in a 1.38.
You know, I'm looking at all of the ratings because we keep track of it in our show notes. If you want to check those out, go to GunnaGeek.com and check out all the great Starling Tribune show notes. Well, one of the key things that we put in the show notes are not just the weekly ratings, but all of the ratings for all 4 of the DC CW TV shows. Guys, this year, in the 2016-2017 TV show year, that is the lowest by far of any of the shows.
It's a sign that we probably don't want to see if you're a fan of the Arrow program. And part of you is going, uh-oh, what is the writing on the wall as they look at ratings? And granted, this is only the Nielsen ratings. We don't know what's going to happen when they factor in the DVR ratings, when they factor in people that watched via the CW app or downloaded the episode through iTunes or things like that. But still, at first glance, you look at that rating and you go, oh, that's not a good sign.
It is not a good sign at all. And you're right. More and more people might be viewing the show on the CW app itself or any other the online ways to get it. We've seen ratings. We've got a chat room behind the scenes, and we were bringing up all of the ratings for shows from last year to this year. And all across the board, there's been a drop. So just keep that in mind. But in comparison to the other DC TV shows, 1.38 is not good at all. It is renewed for next year. We don't know for how many episodes, though, so keep in touch with us for an announcement when it comes out on how many episodes next season of Arrow will have. So, this was a great episode, though, Chris, wasn't it?
It was an enjoyable one, and if you're a longtime listener to the show, you know we like to start things off with the ratings and kind of roll into the theme of the episode. In this week's episode, Capuchin, and my Russian is terrible, so if anyone is better, I apologize for my terrible Russian. So I've got to ask you guys, what's the theme for Capuchin? I'm pretty sure the title gives it away.
Well, in case you're not fluent in Russian, the word means hood, and this is the birth of the hood. This is year 5 of the flashbacks. It's to lead into season 1 of the actual show. Of course, you know, if you remember back in season 1, Oliver comes back and he's like the hood, the vigilante. And now we're starting to see him with the outfit and the mentality and the arrows. So here we go.
It was almost as if The entire series was leading up to this episode, and we didn't even know it. There was so many things that converged for this episode. It was mostly flashbacks, but we got the Hood really coming out. We got Oliver, the dark side of Oliver. We got what is going on in Star City without a lot of exposition with the current Arrow team in the Arrow Cave. It was focused on Oliver, and we learned what Oliver really is. Now, I don't know if they're going to write their way out of it, like he was drugged or this was part of Flashpoint or something, but I think this
they have to.
No, you learned what Oliver Queen was. Remember, this is 5 years ago. The Oliver Queen that we've seen since season one and what we're seeing in the flashbacks now is not the same Oliver Queen you see today, which is kind of why the revelation of what Oliver's confession was didn't really land so well to me. And we'll touch on that later, I'm sure, but it's all built up towards Prometheus, Adrian Chase, pretty much torturing him to try and get him to confess to something, and Oliver not knowing what it is. And then, Steven doesn't like the fact that it didn't land for me. I can see that in the chat room. He censored himself, thankfully, but
I have issues with this episode, too. Where do we want to start, gentlemen? Do we want to start with fights and then move on into the heart of the episode?
This one's going to be interesting because normally there's more emphasis on the present day than there is in the flashbacks. And I want to say it was like a 60-40 split between flashbacks and present day versus normally it's like an 80-20 present day to flashback. So it's a very heavy flashback episode. And actually, most of our fights take place in the past in Russia. Maybe we start there.
Let's do the flashbacks and the fights, Michelle. So why don't you start us off with the fights in the shipyard?
Well, so Kovar, finally we get the return of Dolph Lundgren, and a little surprise, we got Merlin. That shocked me that Merlin and Kovar were doing business. Kovar is trying to get sarin gas, I believe, and so they go to the shipyard, and Oliver actually calls himself Overwatch, and you see him try to stop with his arrows, and he hits one, there's an explosion and a lot of gunfire. It's kind of nice to see that.
Yeah, there was a lot of movement all around, a lot of physical violence. Oliver took the two guys out with his round the head leg move, whatever, and then kills them with two arrows to the chest. I want to go to the sarin gas really quick. So there's sarin gas. It's punctured. One guy dies that's standing right there and gets sprayed for him. But the rest are okay, so I guess I have to believe that there's enough strong wind to dissipate the sarin gas that none of them get. And there's sarin gas in the we have to talk about in the future too. So I have a little issue with the sarin gas, but I have to get over it because this is a comic book show. So I'm going to get over it.
Yeah, I think they did as much research as the Legends writers did for the Moonshot episode. So,
yeah, we'll get to that later this summer, I guess.
Yes, but really the best fight was Kovar versus Oliver. Oh my God, that was brutal, like MMA style, like, wow. I think that was one of the best fights of the season.
Did anybody else think that Kovar looked a little James Bondish in his tux?
Oh, yes.
He was quite the dapper gentleman.
He was indeed.
Oh, and he was so good just gloating in the casinos, like, you know, saying, oh, the Bratva tried to, kill these officials. And he's like, you know, that's what the papers are going to read as I put on my mask and leave. It was great.
The series had sorely missed him. And it was good to see him back. And then, unfortunately, he was killed. But then the whole reason that we have Merlin in this episode was so he could bring him back to life with a little bit of the drops from the Lazarus pit, I believe.
They didn't spell out what happened. That's more led to believe, but it could end up being something different. Who knows with this show? They like to leave you guessing.
Oh, do you think we'll see him in the present?
That seems to be what they're setting up for, I think.
I think he's Vigilante. Just jump to the end right there. I think he's Vigilante.
He's too big.
Yeah, he's too big. Even I have to.
Well, the Lazarus pit can shrink some people.
No, that's cold water.
Thank you, George Costanza.
So that was a good fight as well. It really was. Oliver, even taking on the bad guys in the casino, it was great. It was old Oliver. We liked this way back from season one. And we're getting close to that point where, I mean, like months away, where Oliver is going to have to be on the island and then come back to Starling City.
And grow a beard.
And that hair.
I think you can do it. The magic herbs on the island, dude. That's all you got to go with.
It's true.
So that's going on. So the flashbacks, you said, Chris, they were 60-40. I think I would believe it's more like 80-20. It was a lot.
This was a flashback episode.
It was a flashback and a bottle episode. Everything in Russia, we got the flashback, but everything in present day, it's pretty much a bottle episode because they never leave the jail cell.
No, they don't. And I have reason to suspect, or maybe I'm just speculating, that Talia? I want to say Tatiana. We had both Tatiana's name and Talia's name in this episode. I got confused. So Talia is in the building where the cell is. I think she was filming the whole thing. I think Oliver's revelation at the end where he's standing there chained, that he's screaming that he killed people and he liked it. You have to believe they got that on tape.
And no, that's not quite the mental torture they want to play here. It doesn't seem like.
It's not mental torture. That would be the thing to bring him down from being mayor.
But I don't think they care necessarily about him being mayor. It's more of how they can screw with his mind.
They want to break his spirit. You know, they want to break his heart. They want to break his mind. So what if he's mayor? He's just a shell walking around being whatever.
Yeah, the better way to break his spirit is not to make it so he can't be mayor, but it's to tear the city down around him and he can't do anything to stop it.
Right. I just think that they're going to use that in the future. They're going to use it against him, and it's going to come to a head in the next few episodes because we're at episode 17. We've got, what, 6 left?
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to come up. I think the Oliver Arrow thing is definitely going to be out there. And even if it is an Arrow, because you can't really directly attribute to him being Arrow in that shot. I mean, he's in Arrow clothes, but he could have been cosplaying. Who knows? But he could be attributed to murders and take the mayorship away. I think it's going to be in play, guys.
Yeah, you also got to consider if someone's being tortured, many times it's often theorized they're going to say anything they can to stop being tortured. I mean, and it's pretty obvious Oliver's had the crap beat out of him. He's got arrow wounds in his shoulders. You get to see all the scars from the audience. You can tell that, or you could spin it rather, that he's not in his right mind if they actually have that on tape. I don't think that's going to come into play personally. I think it's an interesting theory, but I don't think that fits in with the game they want to play with him.
And they burned off the tattoo.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. How much do you think that's going to play into his mental capacity?
I think in the short term, it's going to screw with him. Long term, it'll be another one of those things that we never talk about again after 2 or 3 episodes.
So maybe you can go with a clean, non-makeup shirt the next time you go shirtless?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Because, boy, this episode broke him and it went darker than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, the whole Artemis thing, where I was like, oh, this is what they were waiting for. They were just waiting to use her to kill her. And then she was like, oh, I'm just faking. And yeah, he got to him to admit the way he is. I'm like, oh, man, you screwed with my head there. That was probably the biggest shocker of the whole episode for me. I mean, the whole darkness of Oliver coming out, that was more of a long plot thing that was going on for me. Like I said, the whole series kind of, in retrospect, was building up to that particular moment. And by the way, we had this whole Artemis betrayal going on again.
I didn't believe the Artemis thing because I expected all sorts of mind games to be played. So I figured when they brought her in, it was a mind game. And I was like, yeah, you can fake someone being dead or pretending to be dead. So for me, it was, she's probably still all right there. This is a game. Another way to screw with Oliver's mind.
And she liked that he got broken.
Well, yeah, he killed her parents, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's killed a lot of people. Take a look at all those pictures up on the wall.
Yeah. So the majority of the episode takes place in the flashback, and we really get a lot of Anatoly, which I love Anatoly.
Who doesn't?
And I know. So Anatoly is promoted, and, you know, here's the thing. When you have a high-ranking member of the Bratva look at you and say, you know, I think you are out of your mind for thinking wearing a piece of cloth is going to be good. You know, he's like, you go to feed the monster and someday this is going to come back and it will shatter and you will not be any better for this. And I was like, I agree. There's this one scene that, you know, Anatoly and I'm just like going, yep, Anatoly. And that is the torture scene where at the shipyard, they get one of Kovar's men, and then he's there and Oliver is like, I'm going to make him talk. And he goes in and he's like, the guy's blindfolded on a table and he's all like, a friend of mine just taught me how to skin something in like 5 minutes. And then he cuts the guy and he screams and it cuts. And then when he come back, the guy's underneath a sheet. And then Anatoly like looks under the sheet and is like, is disgusted and went, wow, he held out. And then Oliver says, no, he broke rather quickly. The rest was practice.
Ah, that was,
yeah, it's dark.
That crossed the line for me.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The entire thing, both in the cell where he's admitting to liking killing people and the skinning season, which, oh, by the way, with the sheet over the body, I would think with a de-skinned body, there would be a lot more blood on the sheet. But, you know, whatever, maybe it had dried up before he put it over. Yeah, but him liking that, skinning a person alive. Oh, my. Oh, like my skin.
Like last night, I was like, I think this is too far. And I know we've been talking about how, well, we're getting back to Killer Oliver, getting back to season one Killer Oliver. And I'm just like, you know, are we? And I was like, you know what? Your brain plays tricks. You know, it's been a while since. So today, we watched the first 5 episodes of season one. And Oliver does not come back from the island and just start dropping people. He actually gives people a chance to redeem himself in the pilot. He actually steals the money from the bad guy. He gets a confession from the next episode, but the guy lives. Yeah, he killed the kidnappers and the pilot, but they were kidnappers and they had guns. So that's a little bit reasonable. This Oliver right here is really dark. And then when you watch the first 5 episodes, like that's where this is supposed to go. The Oliver from Russia is supposed to be the Oliver we meet in season one. And even though, yes, he is violent and he's killed some people, he's not just going and just dropping as many people as he is right now. So it's a little disjointed when you actually go from this into season one.
So I don't know that we're necessarily quite to his season one mindset yet. And I kind of think, and this is my own conspiracy theory, that something is still going to happen in these flashbacks. It's going to cause Oliver to realize he has to rein it in some. He can't quite be as unhinged, as beast-like as he has been when he's been wearing the hood. And that's kind of what causes him to rein things in a little bit to get you closer to what you saw in season one, which was the guy that wasn't just straight up killing everyone right off the bat. He was giving people a chance. He was taking the money to get that back to folks. So I think something will happen in Russia that causes him to pull back. And it might even be Anatoly that points out to him then successfully this time that is, you can't be this monster. That's not you.
Yeah, it's almost going to be like a sabbatical or a retreat when he goes back to Leon Yu. And he is stranded there, by the way. He gets off the island by building a flare fire for some fishermen nearby to come rescue him. So he's not placed there by anybody that's going to come back there and get him. So I think he either goes there voluntarily to seclude himself or he's stuck there. Either way, he's going through a time of reflection on the island, which might have changed his mindset along the way. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, something's going to happen because he is all about the list and all about honoring his father's memory. Because one of the episodes I saw, he's at his father's grave and he's like, you know, to do what you told me to do, I'm going to have to maybe dishonor your name in order to achieve your goal. So something's got to happen to make him be focused again on the list.
Well, that's going to be his path to redemption, is probably what he'll see after the terrible things he does in Russia. That's partly what I'm thinking here is, yes, going and dropping everyone on that list is terrible, but in his own mind, he can twist it so that it's better than what he had been doing in Russia and what he had been doing while Amanda Waller was pulling his strings and things like that. It is a quest of his own, almost, to go and clean up the mess that his father left behind, but he's choosing to do it in this regard, and I could see them potentially spinning it that way, but again, I could also be completely wrong.
Steven in the chat's bringing up some good points that I want to bring up, basically saying that he questioned the decision with the series to go with the confession of Oliver in the present day. And he questions whether it was the right decision for the series because you're bringing forth a dark Oliver. However, since they did make that decision, and because of that, and Steven went with the decision, thinks it's the right decision for the episode, and that it brought out amazing acting for both Stephen Amell and Anatoly. Who plays Anatoly? I forget off the top of my head.
Dr. Zelenka from Stargate.
Right. So I forget his name. I'm going to have to look up his name. But Stephen is saying that the acting was phenomenal because of that. I think even Kovar was great acting for the episode. I think everything fit. It was the episode that everything, whether you agree with what happened or not, it was well executed.
So Stephen Amell killed it in this episode. I don't think the Stephen Amell we had in season one of Arrow could have pulled off what he needed to do now. Because I think it's fair to say Stephen Amell has grown as an actor throughout the run of Arrow. I mean, you truly believe that Oliver Queen is broken after everything is said and done when he stumbles into the Arrow cave, beaten and bruised, but still walking, and old Oliver would have been like, oh, we're going to take the fight to him, and he's like, no, I'm done. And you just see the look in his eyes. He's lost and he's given up. Now, again, I think the confession is lame. It's not really that great. Had we not had that run in season three where he's like, I'm not going to kill anymore, and then had the great moral quandary of, oh, should I kill Damian Dark at the end of last season? Maybe it would be a bit more effective, but he's not that same person anymore. I honestly think that.
It was amazing, and especially with Josh Segarra as Prometheus was great. And maybe Prometheus has driven his mindset to make him believe that he is season one Oliver and has twisted him so much to where he thinks he's not worthy of the redemption he's done.
Well, I mean, he's made a big point of playing into all sorts of things from season one. Remember the mind games at the beginning of killing people whose first name matched up to a first name of someone who was killed, and you put the two murder victims together, it gave you the name of someone on the list. From taking old arrows that the Hood fired, melting down the tips and turning them into throwing stars. Everything that Prometheus has done this season has been a reminder of, here is the terrible things you did when you came back from the island, that you did in the city when you were straight up killing people, before you made a decision, before your friends helped support you in making this decision of, I'm not going to kill anymore. And before you had a giant, like I mentioned before, a giant moral crisis of, Damian Dark is terrible, but I don't know if I can kill him. If he truly wanted to kill because he enjoyed it still, we should never have had that problem last season of him being like, oh, do I kill Damien or not? I don't know what to do. No, he's grown past that already. So he's getting pulled back into that mindset, being reminded of what he was. But I don't think the Oliver Queen we have now truly enjoys the killing. He's just been put in that mindset to remember what he was before.
Oh, interesting. I'm just going to have to take some more time to process this. This is the day after the episode aired. I just watched it a couple of hours ago, and I still haven't made up my mind on where I think the series is going to go. Now, whether I believe something or not, it's not going to change where the series is going to go, but it's very interesting. I want to ask you guys this, though. Is this one of the most interesting episodes of Arrow that you have seen, Michelle?
It is, especially seeing his relationship with Anatoly. I really enjoyed that. I do wish the building up with Kovar was a little bit more threaded in through the season. But just seeing the mind games at work and seeing it all just play out, it was one of the more interesting ones of this season.
Chris, what do you think?
You're seeing the manipulations of an entire season come into play, and to see how that has helped to shape Oliver to where he is now and be used to break him. All of these things, the front half of the season, all the reminders of season one and the things he's done, Oliver seemed to kind of shake them off, but now he's kind of got no choice, and he's forced to confront everything he's done because it's being tossed right in front of his face. So his own Oliver blames himself for everything. We already know that. So that comes into play in this. And it's powerful in that regard. But like I said, the confession of I like killing, you know, it probably doesn't surprise anyone if you've watched Arrow since the beginning. Or I liked killing.
Yeah, it was a part of the season one character, absolutely, which was brought up before in the season. By the way, Anatoly was played by David Nykl, who's been on Stargate Atlantis, Arrow, Tomorrowland, Supernatural. He's got an IMDb credit list that's 63 credits long, and it goes all the way back to 1988. So he's been an actor for a while, bit part. You've seen him in a lot of things. But for us, we like him as Dr. Zanka in Stargate Atlantis. So there's that. Steven in the chat brings up the fact of the list. Is the list more than what it was in season one? And for my opinion, I just think I'm going to take it at face value. It was everybody involved with Malcolm and Moira Queen in the events of season one, basically.
If it was going to be anything else, it would have come out at the beginning of this season when you had the murder victims who were tied to the list based off their names. And then the list never mentioned again after that. So if they're going to try and bring it back into play, they've really lost a golden opportunity to do that. And it seems like it would just be out of place at this point in time.
Yeah, because the list was really connected with his father, because his father told Oliver, correct my wrongs. And this is all the people who are, you know, not only involved in the undertaking, but they have cops in their pocket and possibly people in the DA, and they just buy their way out of responsibility. You know, so far, like, it's been an unintentional rewatch for me, but, you know, it's had like the guy who didn't put fire alarms in the apartment, the toxic waste dumper, and all that type of stuff. You know, he was going after people like that.
Okay, Steven also asked an interesting thing in chat. Basically, he's asking if we think that Oliver still likes killing. I don't know. I could take it either way. I'm erring on the side of yes, he actually still enjoys it. Michelle, what do you think?
I don't think so. I think Prometheus is making him think he still likes it.
Manipulating in the moment. Yeah, that could definitely be it. Chris, what do you think?
Prometheus wants him to think that he still enjoys killing, but you can't have had that character progression that took place in season 3 and 4 where he stops killing and has a conflicted feelings about actually killing someone who probably should be put down and say that character still enjoys it.
Okay. So moving on to another couple of things with the episode. First of all, we only got a split scene, very short scene with Felicity, which I am grateful for because I'm still pissed at her character and where that character arc is going. Not at Emily. She's still acting as the Felicity we all knew. It's the writing behind the character. And there was very little other than that. Michelle, do you have anything to say about any of the other bit part characters in this episode?
Oh, so sad to see Galina, that's Tatiana's mom and her son. Oliver got her to give him a key to Kovar's because she's Kovar's maid. And she's like, and that look on her face was like, oh God, you know about my kids, you know about my kids. And he's like, yes, I'm sorry, but they're dead. And then she's like, oh, how did they die? And he's like, a monster killed them.
Inferring maybe Kovar, or in her mind, maybe. And
himself. He's the monster.
That's himself, because he killed them both.
I know he was talking about himself. What did she think?
Oh, I think it was left ambiguous in her case. I mean, I don't think she'd think it was Kovar, but you never know. I mean, I think it was just ambiguous. He just didn't give her a name.
What led her to be defiant to Kovar so much when she was being tortured?
Probably because she said Kovar said that he was looking for the kids. And now she finds out they're dead. Like, she was still working and being loyal to Kovar because Kovar was like, I'm looking for your kids. I'm looking for your kids. Trust me. And then she finds out that they're dead. So she probably might think that he knew they were dead and he was just lying to her or something like that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
All right. Do you have anything else for the episode, Chris?
I love how much I hate Prometheus right now. I love the fact that I loathe him so much. It is fun to go and watch a Josh Segarra go on screen and just be, I haven't used this term since Slade was around, really, deliciously evil. Because it's just so fun watching him sit there and put the screws to Oliver a little bit. And again, with that line from last week, I'm 10 steps ahead of you. You don't even know what game we're playing. We're still in that situation right now.
All right, Michelle, what do you think?
There is a path that the rest of the season can go that will make this make sense. I really hope they go there. Right now, it is that there are literally 8 ways this season can just go wrong. And they really need to be careful in these next few episodes. Because I know from fact, it's supposed to get darker still.
I could see that. I mean, we already know the next episode is titled Disbanded. If you've watched the trailer for next week, you've seen Oliver saying, I'm done, go home. This place is closed for business sort of thing going on. And yeah, there's some darker times coming. Plus, we don't know who Vigilante is yet. And Michelle, you want to take a quick look through the list?
Well, we haven't had any more information. He hasn't come back, if it is a he. So, and considering that Vigilante might not even be resolved this season, that's a bit disappointing. But hopefully we might get some more clues.
Yeah, hopefully. Looking forward to next week's episode to see where they go from here. It's going to be an exciting 6 episodes. So we've been talking about it all along. Next week's episode is called Disbanded. Michelle, tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. It's season 5, episode 18. It's going to air Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. And Diggle and Felicity are shocked by Oliver's decision to ask the Bratva for help in taking down Prometheus. Director J.J. Macaro and writer Rebecca Bellotto.
Looking forward to that, absolutely. So we're going to move on to some DC TV news. Fresh from the newsroom floor in the Starling Tribune, we're going to punt it off with a little bit of spoiler talk. A scoop on a bunch of comic book TV shows. Chris, what do you got?
So there was an article over on entertainmentweekly.com. They have their spoiler room article, and they were brought up, hey, can you guys give us a Felicity scoop for Arrow? And of course, if you're like me, you hear the words Felicity and go, ugh, at first. I don't think we need to have that groan of displeasure at the moment. So here's what they said in the Entertainment Weekly article. Aligning with Helix and therefore using even more unconventional methods than she does with Team Arrow is certainly going to take Felicity to an interesting place. In particular, one in which she may come to understand her ex a bit better. We're starting to put her in Oliver's footsteps a little bit, EP Mark Guggenheim said. She's going to get a chance to experience things a little bit more from Oliver's perspective. I think the reason they broke up was her difficulty to see things from Oliver's perspective. They broke up fundamentally because she didn't trust Oliver, and the reason she didn't trust Oliver is she couldn't understand why he made the decisions he made. So now she's having to hide things from the group and have secrets of her own, and remember, everything was, no, Oliver, you can't have a secret, even though everyone else on the team kept secrets from him back in season 4 and 3. But that's neither here nor there. It'll be interesting to see how the dynamic starts to shift there as she gets pulled away from Team Arrow just a bit more.
I know. Everybody's been calling her out on this season. Everybody. Diggle has, Oliver has, even Dinah has mentioned something to her about it. So everybody knows that something's going on with her and she's continuing to go down this dark path. It's one of the issues that I have. This is not the Felicity that I fell in love with in season 1. Really isn't. But then again, I have not nuked an entire city and felt the responsibility of that. That can change a person.
Dark nuked the city.
True. She feels responsible for it though.
She does. Remember, there was the whole guilt arc that still hasn't quite fully been resolved.
That's true.
And Ragman's not around to bounce it off anymore, which might be good, might be bad. I don't know. We'll see. So let's just stay on the Felicity Smoke issue because we do have another enticing news story about Felicity Smoke, but this time in New Legends concept art.
Yes. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim shared concept art of Felicity wearing a black mask and a purple cape The Twitter post did not say which character Emily Breck Rickards will be playing, but it did confirm she will be appearing in the upcoming Legends of Tomorrow episode, Doomworld, and spoiler alert for Legends, next week's episode takes place in the evil creation of Malcolm Merlyn and Damian Dark. They get to do their own reality, and so we get to see different versions of our characters and such. So it seems like it's going to be fun.
Everything with Legends is fun, especially when Mick does the pre-roll for Legends of Tomorrow. Those are the funnest episodes.
They really are.
So moving back into Arrow, you know, Chris, we've been on this since season one. Actually, you're kind of the last remaining plank owner of this podcast. And we go all the way back to Deathstroke and the Island and Leon Yu in season one. Did Stephen Amell just tease a little bit of that?
So he did, but I don't think it's as big a deal as the internet's trying to make it. Let's give you guys the details. Over in comicbook.com, they report that Stephen Amell took to social media to hint the return of the Island. The actor posted a familiar photo with the caption, "Hello, old friend." The picture itself shows Slade Wilson's Deathstroke mask placed upon a stake. The monument is the one that was left on the island with an arrow sticking through the mask's left eye slit. I don't think we're getting Manu Bennett back. We've already talked about that in the past. But we are setting up the events from the very beginning pilot episode where you see that mask on the island and bearded, wild-haired Oliver there. So my guess is this is Oliver going back to the island and making that little statement with Slade's mask, not in fact the return of Slade Wilson.
Do you think they could do the whole scene of the plane crash with Slade wearing the mask on and at least seeing that scene?
Maybe, I don't know. It depends on what the rights are that they had in Manu Bennett's contract to be able to use him in flashback purposes for stuff he'd already filmed.
Not even him, somebody else wearing the mask.
Yeah, I'm sure they could do that. They already did it in episode 100.
They did indeed.
Yeah, and it was interesting because, I watched the first episode, and in the pilot, there was a shot of that mask, and it was like, oh my goodness, it was like actually an actual frame. So it was important even in the pilot. So
it was. As a matter of fact, I brought it up in the first podcast that I did with Wing on the Sterling Tribune as we covered the pilot episode. And Wing, I just remember it because Wing had seen all of season one. They were into season two at that point in time. He said, yeah, keep an eye on that mask. You will see that in the future. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's ingrained in my mind, thanks to Nightwing. So there you go. Something else that's ingrained in my mind, and it's an unexpected grain, is the whole Katie McGrath character of Lena Luthor over on Supergirl, an unexpected pleasure this year, and I've really enjoyed that. So, Michelle, what can you tell us about her?
Well, for those of us, myself included, who are thinking we are not getting enough Lena Luthor, good news for us. Katie McGrath will be promoted to series regular for season 3. You know, she's the sister of Lex Luthor, playing Lena. She's had an interesting arc with that whole, she just thought she was adopted, but she finds out she's actually an actual Luthor. She's actually Lex's half-sister. And it's like she actually got her mom arrested, but is she knowing about Cadmus? Is she, because she's friends with Kara and Kara believes in her. So it's so good that she's going to play a more prominent role in next season.
Looking forward to that. Chris, you've seen some of the Supergirl season 2, right?
I'm actually fully caught up on Supergirl season 2.
Tell me your thoughts on Lena Luthor.
Yeah, she's all right. They need more characters in there that people care about. So they got rid of Cat Grant. So bring in someone else.
Do you think they're going to bring Cat Grant back before the season ends?
God, I hope so. I mean, that was the understanding, is that they said Calista Flockhart would appear in less episodes. I guess appearing in only one is still less episodes, but God, they really need to bring her back.
I want her to come back and go, James, why aren't you running my company? Why are you off playing this mask guy? I put you in charge of a multi-billion dollar multinational corporation. Could you like actually do your job? Please.
That'd be nice, but that show has taken a far less of a focus on the events that occur at Catco Worldwide or whatever anymore. For season one, everything was centered out of there. There were lots of scenes with Kara and Wynn and James there doing things. They do all that at the DEO now. The DEO has become the central hub where all these players go. Like, even in the last episode, you've got all of them standing around a conference room table there. I'm like, Half you guys don't even work for the DEO. Why are you here?
I know. It's like, when did James get a pass?
I know,
it's
right?
Like, he just walks in like, hey.
Well, you throw on the Guardian armor and bingo, there you go.
But half those people there don't know that he's Guardian. So it's, why is the guy running CatCo Worldwide sitting in on these meetings? Is he going to publish something about this? What's going on? We're supposed to be a top secret government organization. What the hell, guys?
He's here for a scoop. That's what he's doing. We've given him an exclusive. Yeah, that's a good point. A very good point. Well, the last I saw of CatCo, Supergirl was fired, so...
I guess the DEO must pay well?
Yeah, evidently. They got a nice skyscraper in addition to their bunker hideout in town.
I want to work for the DEO. No, I don't, because I'd be one of the red shirts. And I'm not actually red shirts. They don't actually have red shirts on, but they do act like red shirts.
Yeah.
You're not one of the main characters. You're going to die in one of the ops. It's just what's going to happen. Or Wynn, you know, maybe your Wynn's assistant. Wynn needs an intern. I'd be Wynn's intern. They've been doing a lot more scenes at the bar.
Oh, I love the bar. There's going to be more bar next week because next week, oh my gosh, Terry Hatcher and Kevin Sorbo play Mon-El's parents and they are more amazing than I ever pictured. And next week, they actually learn that their son is a bartender. So... look out for that.
We're galactic criminals or whatever. You're a bartender? Go figure. All right. Lots of amazing stuff. If we haven't covered anything that you think is important in the DC TV universe, well, first of all, check out our show notes. We have a lot more news articles that you can check out there. But if you want us to talk about something, please head us up on our Facebook page or our Twitter account, which, by the way, Michelle, what kind of feedback do you have for us this week?
I posted a news story about Flash. Next season, it's been announced that the big bad will not be a speedster.
What a novel concept.
No, because, you know, if you listen to our Flash mid-season review, we had Anthony Bachman on there. And one of the things I asked him was like, well, is there anybody else? And he's like, no, you know, they're mostly speedsters. But, you know, it's like the TV... those of us who more like with the television, it's like, really? Like season one, Reverse Flash, season two, you know, Zoom, and now we have Zavatar. So it's going to be nice that there's going to be a break. And I posted it just to Facebook with a comment, no speed villain for Flash next season. Yes, please. Well, Stephen Carl says, wait, what? Why would they choose a villain without super speed? And I replied, because they've done that each season. Remember, not every viewer is a comic fan, so they have to mix things up to keep viewers. And Steven replied, I was being silly. You can't have effectively the same bad guy each season. New metas for the BBG. Exactly, because get repetitive. And then Haley, just nice little comment. What madness is this? And she is one of the co-hosts over on the Crimson Comet, I believe.
She is the producer and one of the main co-hosts on Crimson Comet, which is the Flash podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. And Chris, talking all about other podcasts on the network, I'm in the mood to sample one of the podcasts this week. Which one would you choose?
So we always try to highlight one specific podcast on the network. And this week, I want to talk to you guys about episode 34 of the Doom Ninja podcast. The perfect game has arrived. This week, the crew talks about Easter eggs and mass bannings in competitive video games. They followed up with their thoughts on one of the best shoot-em-ups ever made, Rive. Everything is rounded out with a game development studio update from both hosts. That is episode 34 of the Doom Ninja podcast, which you can go check out over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And while you're there, always feel free to check out some of the other podcasts that make up the network. We've got a wide variety of shows that you can check out. There's plenty of quality content there, guys.
One of the things that I like about the Doom Ninja podcast, if you didn't know, both those guys develop games. They're both game developers. So if you want to know what goes on behind the scenes in indie game development, that is the podcast for you.
Yep. So guys, it's about time for us to start wrapping things up. I did want to thank the live listeners we had in the chat room over at Geeks.live and on Diamond Club TV. A big thank you also to anyone who downloads and listens to the podcast or even goes and replays it on YouTube at a later date.
If you are here, please tell your friends. Come and join us live Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And you can join us in the live chat room at geeks.live.
You can watch the next live show on the Gundy Geek Network over on geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter.
Don't forget, you can find all of our content information on the Gunna Geek Network over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And while you're there, feel free to check out the forums, check out some of the other awesome shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or best of all, give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, guys, I think this has been another great episode that we've discussed this week. I think we are going to wrap things up, but do you guys have any last words as we sign off and open up the chat to our live listeners? Let's start with at Stargate Pioneer.
At Oliver Queen Skin Club.
Interesting. At Michelle Ely.
Hashtag, it was so nice to see a shirtless Steven.
And I am at the Chris Farrell signing off with hashtag Gunna Gleek. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have a special announcement to make. Yes, that is right. Chris, Michelle, myself, Neil will be joined by Chris on the Gunna Geek Show this Monday night. Yes, this Monday night, March 27th, 2017, as we cover the wonderful Supergirl Flash crossover in our newest Gunna Gleek episode. Yes, Steven has actually pulled the trigger, and we will be doing it in the place of Gunna Geek for Gunna Gleek. Michelle, are you excited about Gunna Gleek?
Yes, I've been resisting actually singing the soundtrack. The soundtrack is available on iTunes and Amazon. It's $8 for the crossover. So I've been trying not to sing on live because YouTube, fair use. I don't want to get us in trouble. But it's delightful, and I can't wait to really talk about it.
Chris, I knew you were such a Glee fan back in the day. Are you looking forward to this episode?
Where did you hear that from? Because that is patently false. I've never seen Glee before in my life. So I'll be very curious to hear Steven's impressions, as he is an admitted fan of Glee.
I watched the first season, admittedly, the second half of the first season of Glee kind of waned, and I never went back to the show, but the first half of the first season was fun to watch, so I can't wait to talk about these two episodes next Monday on Geeks.live, a little bit past the 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, it'll probably be around 9:20 as we kick off, because we have to assemble everybody together, but we will be talking about Steven's favorite topic. Yes, that is the much awaited Gunna Gleek podcast. We'll see you all Monday night, or catch us next week right here at geeks.live.